Welcome to our new podcast, Pretty Odd-Abessa, with
Abelina
and Anessa.
And today we're going to talk about music and about promotions. Mm-hmm. But first of all, this is our first podcast ever. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm kind of nervous. We had some outtakes already because it was kind of hard and I was nervous. How are you feeling about it?
I'm very nervous. I'm kind of scared I'm going to make some mistakes. So please be here with us.
Yeah, we will.
However, what do you think is our goal for this podcast? And
well, you told me, you told me that we're going to talk about the music and the promotion. We're also going to talk about some specific bands, right?
What bands?
Panic at the Disco and
BTS! Okay.
So,
how do we feel being the most hated duo out there?
Most hated. Because they're most popular, most talented. What can you say, you know? That's what you do, you know?
All right. Should we get right into it?
Yeah, I think we could start with the first point, right?
All
right.
So today, I want to tell you something about Panic at the Disco.
Their
debut album, actually. Do you know what it's called?
I never...
No, I have no
okay. idea. Something with Fever, or?
Yes. A Fever You Can't Sweat Out was their debut album.
I forgot. Yeah, yeah.
And it came out mid 2000s. I'm sorry. Okay, mid 2000s, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you something how they promoted it and how it even became their biggest album of all
Please
time.
Please let me know, because sometimes I'm confused. Was there really strategies behind that, or was it just luck? You know what I mean? Some artists, they're lucky to suddenly blow up, and some just have a well-planned through strategy that they're going through. So I'm excited about it.
Actually, I'm glad you spoke about that, because Panic at the Disco, oh my god, they use actual traditional and modern strategies on how to promote their album.
I write students, not strategies.
Okay, so first of all, I want to talk about that they released two singles of the album. The first one is I Write Since Not Tragedies.
Yeah, we know, of course.
And But It's Better If You Do.
Mm-hmm.
And
I love But If It's Better Than You.
Isn't that your favorite song?
That is my favorite song. I always listen to it, But If It's Better...
But It's Better If You Do.
Yeah, and then the transition to I Write Sins, Not Tragedies.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's one of the most iconic, how do you call that? Transitions kind of to the music.
It's super smooth, actually.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I saw it on YouTube. Emos really love that. And you're one, so listen to that.
Okay. So they obviously released various singles, which was very typical in the mid-2000s. Yeah. So it's not very surprising that Panic at the Disco used the same tragedy. I was about to say tragedy.
Too much Panic at the Disco.
Okay, so however, their music videos were actually aired on MTV. You know MTV? Did you watch that as a kid?
Everyone knows MTV. Come on now. Come on.
I'm not so sure about the new generation. Okay, anyways, I don't know if MTV is still going. However, they were played there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also, there was a huge airplay on radio station where the music and the songs were basically promoted.
Mm-hmm.
So it was back then in the radio. Nowadays, they barely play Panic at the Disco. Obviously,
I have never heard of Panic at the Disco.
You heard House of Memories.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
And High Hopes as well, right?
Hopes, yeah, High Hopes as well. And I think that was even in a German movie.
Oh, was it?
Fuck you, Goethe.
Oh, fucking Goethe. For the German listeners here. Who doesn't know fucking Goethe?
Do you know where else they were promoted? I have it in my room, actually, on my wall.
Where else? Like something like MTV or something
Something where they are presented.
Like, do you also mean like talk shows like Jimmy Fallon or stuff like that? Because I remember,
actually, they were not on.
They were not? Shows.
No, obviously they had interviews, but back then it was not so typical for emo bands to have like be part of such.
Oh, but shows. I do remember My Chemical Romance was on one, if I'm not bad, like on Jimmy Fallon's show, I think they promoted their album song, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have no idea. Give me like a hint.
You printed actually. I told you it's
newspaper.
On my it's not a newspaper.
Oh my god, my bad.
Actually, magazine covers.
Oh, like regular magazine covers.
Yeah, especially Kerrang magazine. You know Kerrang magazine?
I don't know.
You don't know Kerrang magazine? Don't. That's crazy. All emo bands are on there.
Really?
All emo bands are on there.
Of course, you're the emo professional.
Oh my god, wait.
Bless you.
My bad.
Even though you did sneeze.
I did not sneeze. Okay, so you know about tours and concerts, right?
Yeah. Girl. Who does not know? Everyone was at least once in their life on a concert.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was on one with you. Did you forget?
I did not want it to be exposed on this podcast. All right, anyways.
Nobody knows on which concert. Okay, anyways, keep talking.
Yeah,
please.
Y'all keep guessing, I guess. I'm sorry. Actually, they toured extensively in avenues across the country. Mm-hmm. So they built up an extremely strong fan base, especially because obviously the members were... everyone's crush back then. Mm-hmm. Like every girl was like,
yeah, who does not love Ryan Ross, right?
Someone bring Ryan Ross back.
Please,
right,
it's 2024 and still no Ryan Ross. Like, what?
And that's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Where the fuck is he?
Yeah, right? What the fuck? Anyways.
So, what else can I tell you? Online promotion. Back then, it was not that typical or like high tech as it is now. But we're gonna hear about it later when you're gonna tell me something about BTS.
Yeah,
because I got some questions because my emo bands are literally so old. I can
either
pray.
Disbanded, not active. They're not doing music, basically. Yeah.
Or they aged really badly.
Or they had like member switches like every year.
Basically. Yeah. So they obviously did promote online on their official website where they also sold like merchandise, especially posters were so in back then. Like they sold their posters with the album themed art, logo of the band, and obviously shirts, the album, vinyls, the CDs. They actually did made it kind of big and built an even stronger fan base. I'm sorry for that. However, that's basically how a fever you can sweat out get really that popular. They
like,
did not even
from all
much.
These things like you like told us about, like which do you think was the most important for their growth? Like which would you say like, okay, yeah, like our promotions, like in the magazine covers, like really helped us a lot. Like, what's your personal opinion on that? Like, do you think singles helped them a lot, or the Miss You video, or maybe even the fandom sometimes promoted the artist as well? Which, by the way, ARMYs did with BTS, but talk about that later.
Okay, can I be honest?
Yeah, be honest. Of course, it's your opinion.
I feel like, obviously, everything they did was really good and like. Planned perfectly, but I personally feel like that Panic at the Disco could not have done it without Ryan Ross and his strong fan base.
So exactly.
I feel like without him the band would have not been that blown up like it was, and I actually don't think that music videos were like that huge back then or played a big impact.
No, they did actually.
Really?
Personally, I feel like
okay, but it's different with if we talk about BTS.
No. I talk about like also Westerns.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like, well, personally, I feel like that back then people like put a lot of like thought in the music videos. Now it's like, oh, let me just drop a music video to this single and like that's it, because they just want to like put out the singles and not like really take care of like the music videos. Personally, I have no idea. Like, everyone has a different opinion
on
that.
No, I totally get that. I just personally don't really watch music videos anymore. When I was a K-pop fan, mm-hmm. I used to love it because there's so much happening.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, Panic at the Disco music videos are, like, kind of silly as well. Like, do you remember that one music video I showed you where Ryan Roswell in a fish tank?
Yeah. I do remember it. I do, actually. It's kind of silly, but it's... It definitely has, like, meaning behind
definitely.
Like, that's it.
And to answer your question fully, I would say the most what helped us probably, I think the touring and the concerts, definitely, because they are so energetic on stage.
Oh, right. I remember, like, I always see clips from Panic at the Disco, especially Brandon and Ryan mm-hmm. on their concerts, and, like, that's how I also, like, kind of, like, got to know them. Like, I always saw the clips and how well they performed. Also, the makeup, like, the stage.
The signature makeup.
Yeah, and the dancers, the background dancers. Like, I feel like that's also, like, something, a lot of promotions. Because
KDK, you will be missed.
Yeah, of course. And, like, you see them, like, perform. Like, it's kind of crazy. Like, oh, my God, I also want to, like, get into this artist. Like, oh, my God, who is this? Like, who is putting, like, so much thought into, like, the concert? Like, I don't know. It's, for me, very interesting.
Totally agree with you, actually. Yeah. And I think that's basically also their entire success. And that's what made them one of the most famous emo bands in the 2000s. And they're still popular. They're mm-hmm. like not active at all anymore. And they lost basically everyone besides of Brandon.
We love Brandon, though.
We love Brandon. Yeah. Brandon is awesome, actually. And... yeah, that's basically how they promoted it. And I think that's a lot of hard work.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a question, actually.
Yeah, tell me the question.
Actually, this is the biggest question I have in my head, mm-hmm. in my mind right now.
What is it?
Before you get into promotions and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
BTS.
BTS, what's with them?
What is their genre? Because I heard it from literally everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's K-pop. No, it's pop. No, it's rock. It's hip-hop.
Rock.
EDM. What is BTS? Is it heavy metal? What about black metal? Did they try out corpse painting yet?
No, they didn't try that out one yet.
Yet, guys.
But yeah, yet. You never know. You know, it
would be actually so fucking cool if they do that.
Because that's exactly like how I'm going to answer it. Because BTS is like, they're so open for everything. And they did basically like so many genres. Like, they were supposed to like debut as a hip hop like group.
Really?
Yeah, I remember Namjoon always like told about it. Also, RM always like said like we're a hip hop group and stuff like that. And they did start in the early days with hip hop, but they did everything. Like they did like jazz, trap house music, EDM.
What's
slow
trap
soul.
House music? I'm sorry. I see that
trap
everywhere
music?
On TikTok. What the fuck is trap house music?
Google it.
Or like I don't also, have a phone.
Also like some tropicals. Like, you know, Save Me. That's like kind of tropical music.
Oh,
yeah, Save
Me. Oh my
Me.
God, I love Save Me, actually. It's one of my favorite songs of them.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
So
basically, I could not say, like, I feel like K-pop is, like, too small to put them just in one genre because they're, like, everything. And I remember the members themselves, like, always said, like, they want to try everything. They're not K-pop. They feel like that genre does not define everything they have done or they will do in the future.
Honestly, I feel like K-pop is underestimated for what BTS has done and archived. Do you say it like that?
Archived.
Yeah. Whatever. I feel like BTS is so much bigger than K-pop and it's going to make so many people like mad out there. But BTS paved also for Western artists. They get inspired and like all want to meet BTS. Like, how did they get so successful? Like, how?
Yeah.
What was their peak?
Yeah, let's start with their, because it's kind of crazy because they had like many like peaks, but you know, after like a time, like you could say that Wings was their peak, or you could even go further back and it's like with the first win, like with I Need You. But I would personally say like they started with Wings album, the peaking, like going through the charts on the like Billboard charts, and fans actually promoted it more because they had like already a unique concept and they also had like a storyline to their whole music videos.
True. What is it called again? I'm sorry, isn't it like some letters?
The most
isn't it like H
YYH. YYJ. I have no idea how to pronounce it, basically. But that's like basically the name for it. And I feel like that's how also like kind of they got a popularity, because people were interested, like, oh my god, they have like
a lore
behind it. And well, basically fans started to promote BTS on the streets with posters and everything, like you could see everywhere, and people started to get interested. And like years later, they kept obviously growing, and they still are growing. And then like they had hit songs like Dynamite, Butter, Jungkook had Dreamers for the World Cup. Like they really went popular, and I feel like it's all of it. I would not only say it's like promotion, but I feel like it's also like the talent that they got, and like
definitely, yeah,
just like how much they put into everything. Like people saw the hard work, and I feel like that's what paid off. Like they saw the music videos were definitely, like going crazy, the music itself was amazing, and everything else also, like what I feel like is also like big to say is like they had also albums, which is kind of different with Western albums and obviously like K-pop albums. So they had also like photo cards, which is also a very popular
method. Mm-hmm. I actually love that so much, and I kind of wish some Western artists would do the same.
Beyonce started it actually.
She has photo cards.
Yes, she started it. That's because,
oh my god,
yeah, because the whole like K-pop genre like was inspired like by Black people. Oh. And I remember like Beyonce started actually with the photo cards in her CDs.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then like K-pop like copied it, and like then they also started it. So it's not really fair to say that K-pop started it, but they definitely got inspired.
Thomas, but I really
or they popular
right?
Popularized.
Thank you for watching. Anyways, guys, so thanks for listening. No, what did I want to say? All right, actually, what I love on BTS albums are, first of all, the effort they put in.
Oh, the design as well, I forgot.
Exactly, that's what I wanted to say. Like, the effort they put in the design and the name and the photo books. Like, I love how it's built up. Like, the photo card, the posters, the stickers, like, all of that, that's so insane to me, and that's so much, and obviously it costs more than like a typical CD you can buy like wherever, but I think it's absolutely worth it.
Yeah, I feel like that's their biggest marketing strategy, that they have like these albums with which they have like the photo card and obviously the album book, and as well the CD, and sometimes even posters, or sometimes even other things they put in inside, like maybe like not photo cards, but like postcards, exactly, postcards.
Or just
which
I also really, really love, but I don't know if BTS had that. They did. You had that on your nightstand. That pop-up, you know?
Yeah, like, the pop-up. Yeah. They also sometimes put like small pop-ups, like I always had. Yeah, I love it.
I love that so much.
I feel like that's like what's like interesting for as well other K-pop stands as well, because
definitely,
you could like have so much fun, look through the pictures, have collections of these photo cards, and I feel like collecting as well is also
so
a strategy.
It's
which they obviously use, like people know they will buy it, they will do everything for their favorite member.
Especially talking about strategies and talking about photo cards right now. So many people buy the same album twice or a third or a fourth time to get different photo cards, because there are more versions and so many members that it's so smart if we think about that. It's actually so smart. And I feel like some Western artists should start doing that as well, because then they would be actually like more blown up.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know if you saw it, but I saw Taylor Swift, slowly started with
Taylor Swift
as well.
I mean, I do have like one CD of Taylor Swift.
Like in a newer album, I feel like
I had like a poster of her, which I also think is already good if Western artists start to put posters in their CDs, because you have more than just a CD. Do you know what
I know.
I mean? Because I don't know, like, talking right now, again, because of Panic at the Disco, they had posters in their vinyls, but they obviously costed way more. Yeah. So if you don't have the money or you don't have something to, like, play the vinyls on, it's so frustrating because you have no merch of them, basically.
Yeah, I feel like when we're, like, talking about, like, CDs and vinyls.
Vinyls.
I'm sorry, guys. I cannot pronounce it well. But what was it, like? I wanted to say, like, how I feel like K-pop as well, like, popularized, again, like, getting the CDs.
Definitely.
Not because, like, okay, let me get a CD, but because of the photo cards and, like,
and not just that, also because you said that before, because of the collections.
Yeah, exactly. Because for people who don't know, I also collect BTS albums, so it is fun, obviously, and I get why people buy it. Because,
it's addicting.
Yeah.
It's hella addicting.
Yeah, and... like, albums do make you happy, like,
definitely.
If you have something from your favorite, it's also, like, kind of merchandise,
it
right?
It is. I feel like every album, CD, or whatever, it counts to merch, like, because you have that from your, like, favorite band, you have that literally at home, like, it is merchandise for me. Like, for example, I also collect CDs, and I have every single Panic at the Disco CD, actually, and none of them had a poster. I was so sad about that. I was so sad I had to print out the pictures myself.
Oh, my God. Well, I feel bad for you, Kat.
I feel also bad for me. I also feel bad for me.
I'm so sorry.
I'm also sorry.
Well, but the thing is, I feel like... back then, you did not have really streaming platforms because you mainly had, like, MP3 players or just, like, the, what is it called again? Like, the CD?
The kind of radio type of recording.
We don't know the word, guys, so I'm so sorry. But I feel like you know what I mean. But right now, the streaming platforms obviously got, like, more popular.
Especially Spotify.
Especially Spotify. But who does not use Spotify? Either Spotify or Apple Music.
Everyone uses that. Honestly, I feel like Spotify is also the most, like, it's the best app, in my opinion, if it comes to music.
Yeah, because it's, like, for everyone. Like, it's also even included for Apple users, but Apple Music is only, obviously, for the iPhone users.
Oh, what do you want to say about that?
Nothing. I was only just pointing it out because, obviously, Apple Music, it's not going to be on your Android.
Android? Yeah. Okay, well, so you use Spotify also on a daily, basically?
Yeah, Spotify, I always use it, but I don't actually pay for it. I just...
guys, she's using it illegal. Is that what you want to do?
I'm not using it illegal.
Can you even use it illegal? Or is it that safe already?
No, I think before, like, some years... people did use it illegal, but now I feel like there's no way. I mean, I have no idea. But basically, I just open up my laptop or my computer and Spotify is free on there. You sometimes, like, get...
Really? On a laptop, everything is free?
Yeah, everything. Just the thing is, on Spotify, if you use it on your laptop, you can only, like, skip maybe after, like, 1 hour of listening. Then you can not skip, like... 3 ads or something like that, but overall it is better than, like, on your phone. Just
you have it on your phone, unpaid. So how many times can you skip? Because I'm premium, guys.
I feel like only you can skip only 3 times. No, 6 times. 6 times. 6 times.
Okay, yeah.
6 times, but only in 1 hour. Only in 1 hour. I feel like
that's kind of rough.
Yeah,
but honestly, I feel like the price is... it was fair, but then inflation and stuff, it got pricey, and which I'm not a fan of, but we have to be fair and give Spotify the fact that it's
basically the rich girl is right now sitting besides me who has premium, and the poor girl aka me, basically. So, like, for the end, like, would you say that really singles and the other promotions would have worked now? Like, do you think if, like, Panic at the Disco would do the things right now, do you feel like they would still be big in the marketing? Or do you feel like They wouldn't.
Like, or they did it with a fever you can't spit out. You mean if they use the exact same strategies?
Yeah. Do you feel like they would be as popular as right now? Or do you feel like, because you said as well that Ryan Ross, like, was a big part of it and that his fan base was big? And
I feel like that if they would do it now, aka Brandon Urie on his own, I don't think he would get the success anymore because so many people hate him. And Ryan Ross had an insane fan base.
Yeah, he still does. Like, it's really crazy.
Yeah, like, we still cry about him.
Yeah, we do.
I don't think it would work, but he has so much better, like, opportunities to promote now on social media, like via TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok Instagram, especially. Yeah.
Especially TikTok, because every teenager is on there. Like,
yeah, because even back then you didn't have that, right?
Exactly.
You didn't have any TikTok. You didn't have any Instagram. You had basically nothing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
For promotion.
Actually, on MySpace, it was kind of, like, also big and stuff. Mm. But I feel like now, where everything is, like, more modern, Panic at the Disco would have, like, blown up on social media. Mm. And your storage is full, my love. It's okay. We have still my phone. I feel like because of social media, he would have been more blown up, especially because of TikTok. There are so many, especially emos. Mm. I think even you have them on your For You page.
I do.
Like, we're everywhere and we're so big, so definitely.
So you're basically saying we all should stan Ryan Ross.